Hey, how's it going, guys? Welcome to the third episode of the Oilfield Basics Discover podcast, where you learn something new about our incredible, amazing, and expansive industry on every single episode. I'm your host, Derek Craig, and with me today is my other half of Oilfield Basics, Sebastian Jaya. How you doing today, Sebastian?
I'm doing great. Finally getting some warm weather out here in Ohio, so that always boosts the morale and mood around here. So
finally heading into like the second summer now or something like that. Yep. It's great to have you back on the show. What are we talking about today? I know you kind of lined up this particular topic.
Mm-hmm. So today we're going to be hosting Craig Kaiser of PetroValues. And so today we'll be mainly talking about kind of what PetroValues is, how it started, their mission is, their role into the land evaluation portion of our industry. And so we're going to have him go through what they do and how they're disrupting the norm in oil and gas evaluations.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to learn about this pretty critical component because, you know, if you don't have the land, you know, we can't operate, we can't drill, we can't complete the well, we can't produce the well. None of it happens without land. So, and it's oftentimes, you know, something that at least, you know, us as engineers, our background, we don't really get to know a lot of, you know, unless we're particularly working with like development projects or something like that. So a lot of good information, I think, coming for us here in the next few minutes or however long this goes. So looking forward to learning more about this very important topic in our industry. So, but we'll get into this topic in just a few moments, but I want to, again, just give a quick progress update to where we're at in terms of Oilfield Basics. And I mentioned on the last podcast, if you haven't listened to that, that was with Canine Pipe Inspection. So that was a pretty cool podcast. Learned about how they were actually using man's best friend, you know, to actually find and detect leaks in pipelines, and just the accuracy of those dogs and what they can detect is pretty phenomenal. So if you didn't listen to that episode, check it out. But one of the things I mentioned on that was that we just cracked a lot of benchmarks per se on our social media. So we've got a lot of strong following on LinkedIn. We just cracked 2,000, I think, over the weekend. And then Instagram, we just cracked 5,000 last week, I think. So a lot of great benchmarks for us in our growth and our continued growth in this marketplace per se. So we appreciate you guys following us and ask you to please, you know, share about us, you know, share our posts or tell your friends, you know, in the field or in your office, you know, about us. We're trying to create a platform where there's always something for everyone to discover something new. So keep that in mind and continue to help us grow. We appreciate it. And I invite you to share as well. If you've got content, you know, get involved, you know, not only tell people about us, but consider contributing material and helping us to grow that way as well. So keep those things in mind. And then the other things I didn't really mention on the last podcast, we are having upcoming one-on-one webinars. So if you want to get more familiar with the big picture of the industry, we're going to start those podcasts this week and next week. I know we're having another one. And we expect to have those somewhat on a recurring basis. So whether it's weekly or biweekly, something like that. So keep an eye out for that. That's a great way to get started if you're not familiar with the industry or how everything connects. It'll be pretty big picture, but it'll get you started. So crucial information for you there. And then we just signed a deal to bring basically a crash course of managed pressure drilling on our site. I forgot to mention that in the last podcast, but that's pretty big, cool news. So managed pressure drilling is a pretty hot topic, and that's something that is continuing, you know, companies are continuing to look more and more at. So that's exciting that we're going to be bringing that course to our site as well. So that should be coming in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll have that up on our site. So keep an eye out for that. And then we also just, we're in the process of signing a deal for an economics course. So that's going to be crucial, especially for people in the shoes like Sebastian and I who are coming out of college and engineering roles, to really have that economics background, know how to make those economics models, because everything in our industry runs off economics. If you're not making, you know, if you don't plan to make money off of it, your project's never going to get underway. So very crucial that we understand that portion of our industry as well. So keep an eye out for that. And also, you know, when you're listening to these podcasts, please review us. So review us, you know, on the podcasting app that you're using, review us. That helps other people find us and this content as well. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, for sure.
Anything that you can do to help us grow, we appreciate it.
Yeah. And so, like I mentioned before, today we have Craig Kaiser. He's the president of PetroValues. Craig actually started out working as a roughneck in the oil field and transitioned into more of a geologist role. And so he's worked for several operators out in the Denver, Colorado area. And now he's founded PetroValues. So Craig, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, fairly decent background of myself. Yeah. So I didn't grow up in the, I guess what you could call the academic side of the industry at all. I grew up on swinging hammers and being out on location, being muddy. And that's kind of the view of oil and gas that I had. And I absolutely loved it. I actually enjoy that view a lot more.
That's a great perspective.
Yeah. But it's a much better view than sitting in an office or something like that in my view. But that's kind of what I grew up in. And I didn't really have an understanding at all of the subsurface. I mean, everything I knew was from the top of the wellhead up. I mean, that was my expertise. I went to college, got a master's degree from School of Mines in geology, started learning the subsurface a lot. But there's still a huge hole in kind of my general knowledge of oil and gas. And what I found out, it was actually the most important one. And that is the economics of, how do you make money? Right. If I'm a geologist and I'm thinking up a geologic concept and I think we can go drill wells here and I get my buddy and someone else and we go and pitch, a project to a private equity or, a hedge fund or something like that and raise money, which a lot of companies have. A lot of the shale in the United States has been driven by debt equity money. But I go and pitch these guys and say, I have a great idea. I need to borrow some money and we're going to start drilling wells. I really didn't have a decent understanding of can I actually make money. It's a really good point to what you just said. A lot of people have some very good ideas of where they can go drill new wells, or they remember hearing stories of an old time wildcatter who drilled this well and had an amazing DST and it flowed oil to the surface and there's oil all over the pits. And everyone has those stories like, okay, well, let's go try to make that work using, horizontal drilling and higher technology fracs. And if you don't really know the economic side of that and the variables that are assumed when you calculate value, it's really, really hard to understand whether it makes sense, whether the idea makes sense at all. That was a huge hole that I had in my oil field knowledge, and hopefully we can cover a few of those topics here today.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of like the economic side, one of the crazy things, as I do anything that relates to economics, through schoolwork or internship wise or anything, it's just incredible, how many little factors that we can change in design of a well. So, you mentioned like, if you drill in Texas, anywhere out in the Permian Basin, you have to try harder than not, to not hit oil. So like, sure. It's pretty much a given, there's so much productive zones out there, but it's you can change everything. You can have like this huge frac design on it and still, and cause your well to not be economical because you spent too much money and it doesn't justify the increased cost of that completion job. So economics really rule our industry. And I think we see it on every single side of our industry, that whether you're in drilling or completions, and especially even in production, if that well, if you put on a rod lift and it's constantly needing a workover job to replace, parted rods, that all goes into economics and whether or not that well is actually going to ever pay off for you. So a lot of good background on that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's so many other factors involved with, will this well ever make money, right? Even in the Permian Basin, right, where you're literally sitting on top of an ocean of oil. Maybe the more critical long-term ocean that people need to be worried about is the salt water associated with all of that, right? So if you have a well and it's turning on at 3,000 barrels of oil a day, but you're making four or five times that in water, and you're nowhere close to facilities and you have massive trucking costs and all sorts of other variables, and your CapEx costs are more expensive than, let's say, a Weld County, Colorado well, where you're drilling a well for, $2.5 to $3 million. It's not always the production. And that's something that I'm still learning a lot about. It's not really, economics are not always driven by the production. That's a massive factor, right? Is how much revenue the oil and gas, the hydrocarbon stream coming up whole. That's where you're getting all your revenues. But there's so many other things involved with the economics. And I'd say the number one variable, the biggest price or the biggest knob that you can turn for economics is the price deck, is the oil, mostly right now, oil price. Pre-2009, it was both oil and gas price, but now it's primarily the oil price. So, if you're looking at, you're working for an operator, let's say you're working for EOG and you're thinking about picking up a couple, a little bit of additional leasehold in the Permian, or you're trying to chase EOG and you're trying to pick up leasehold next to them, and you're trying mm-hmm. to figure out what to pay for that leasehold, and you know, the landman comes and knocks on your door as an engineer or geologist and says, okay, what can I pay for this? There is, and this is, I guess, the biggest point that we can get across in this podcast is there is no one price for minerals. There is none, because I can't tell you what the price of oil is going to be this afternoon, much less a year from now, much less 10 years from now, right? So there really is no what is the price. It is what is a price based on certain assumptions. And one of those assumptions, the major assumption, is what is your oil price going to be? You can run it at your strip price, whatever the oil's trading at, and then the futures, or you can run it at a flat price, assuming that, you know, we'll be at a constant $60 per barrel and a $3.25 MCF price, or, you know, that's looking at it optimistically considering today's price or pessimistic price. So there's a lot that goes into that. And that's the biggest one is it from, in my opinion, is the price deck. We've kind of talked about the production, right? Until the well is drilled and you have, you know, at least a year to sometimes even a couple years of production, so you can actually predict what the decline of those wells are going to do, because the first day that well's producing is likely going to be the best. And this is after the flow back, after the cleanup, everything. But starting from your initial production, that's going to be the best that well likely will ever do. For the vast majority of oil wells across the world. So after that point, every day in the future is going to produce a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less. Depending on the formation, depending on the fluid type that you're producing, depending on the production strategy, choking strategies, all of that, each well is going to have a different decline rate. So if you don't have a couple, you know, a significant amount of time of production to kind of predict that, all the other wells, it's incredibly variable what you can predict for those well performance to be. I mean, in some cases, if you're looking at valuing leasehold and there's permits on it or pending permits, or there's not even any permits and you have to theoretically put wells there, you have to risk that there's a chance that some of those wells or any of those wells may not be drilled. So there's also risk with that. So the production, whether the wells get drilled or not, and then also when the wells are actually going to start getting drilled, when you're actually going to start getting paid, right? If Oilfield Basics promises me, let's say you paid me for this podcast and you said, Craig, we're going to pay you $10 to go ahead and do this podcast because that's all you're worth to listen to is 10 bucks. I'd say, okay, that's great. But you're going to say, okay, but I'm not going to pay you for 5 years. That $10 is worth a heck of a lot more today than it is if I waited to get paid in 5 years, right? It's the same thing for your oil and gas investments. If you have a drilling project that you want to pitch to a private equity firm and borrow their money and start putting rigs to work, and you're going to go to them and say, okay, well, I can if I can lease this acreage for $1,500 an acre, you purchase it, we're going to put a rig to work, and then in 2022, we're going to start getting revenues. They're going to say, why not in 2021? Why not in 2020, right? I need my money back today, because the further it's pushed out, the longer that discount rate, that it's worth less, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Time value of money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. So when do your revenues start? The closer to today they start, the more valuable they are. But another kind of the fourth main variable there is how much are you spending to get that stuff, right? I mean, if you right now in the Rockies, and I'm a very Rockies focused guy, just because of where I'm from and where I've done subsurface work. But let's say up in the Powder River Basin, it's very, very interesting right now with some just phenomenal wells turning on, kind of Permian Basin-esque type wells. So people are traditional DJ Basin or other Rockies Basin players are kind of running into the Powder River Basin right now saying, holy cow, if I can make a 3,000 barrel a day well or 4,000 barrel a day well, I'm crushing it. But then you have to fold in the CapEx and OpEx costs, right? There's not a lot of infrastructure in Powder River Basin. The drilling is really expensive up there, right? Rather than drilling a DJ Basin well for, anywhere from $3 to $5 million all in with your D&C cost, your drilling and completion costs, you're looking at something that's well over twice that up in the Powder River Basin. So yeah, you better be able to produce twice as much hydrocarbons up there, you know, and that's still haven't even taken into account the price deck, right? So if you're still at a suppressed price deck, even if you're making substantially more hydrocarbons, your CapEx, your upfront capital cost spend could be severely detrimental to the economics of the entire project. So there's a heck of a lot of things that you can twist and turn with that economic model, you know, shrinks yields all over the reservoir engineering stuff. But those four main variables, those are kind of the ones that, I don't really care what the shrink or the yield, and this is coming from a geologist, of course, but I don't really care what the shrinks and the yields are, because if I change my commodity price from up or down $2 per barrel, it completely wipes out what I'm doing, slightly changing my shrinks and my yields. So, those are some pretty, pretty important variables anyway.
Yeah. Whenever we do economic analysis and stuff for projects, typically one of the things that you're going to see go along with it, at least from the company, the corporate perspective, you're going to have sensitivity studies. So you're going to see what's the most sensitive for this project. And typically, you know, obviously price, you know, to do the job, and then price of your commodity, you know, that's going to be top. And then those other little things, you know, like Craig was just saying, you know, don't care so much about the shrink and the yield, you know, because it doesn't have as much of an effect.
Yep.
And then one thing I wanted to hit on too, you mentioned, how the price, and then especially the commodity pricing, what assumptions you're making whenever you're doing the economic model. And then also too, you know, the design that a company is going to do on that well obviously is going to change its productivity. So you have all of these different things from the corporate perspective that can be changed in the way that they run the economics and execute it in the field. But you've also got a lot of reservoir heterogeneity. You know, it's different. Whatever that word is.
Absolutely right. Yeah. So yeah, you lay out, let's say you're laying out like 8 wells per DSU, or if you're in Texas, mm-hmm. eight wells per, we can't do per lease, but you know, you're putting your offsets at 350 feet per well. You know, you're assuming that this formation is homogeneous, and every well is going to produce the same. And that's never the case. Right. So, you absolutely have to risk whatever your assumed future production is going to be. And it's also a very good point that you brought up. Not every producer drills the wells the same way, and not all producers complete the wells the same way. I mean, there's radical differences, and there's radical different strategies, right? Depending on whatever the investment strategy is for each individual company, what might make sense for EOG might make complete different sense for Noble, right? Which is why they're going to pump and drill a completely different well than the other company will. Their capital strategy is completely different, right? So how they want to make money, whether they want their money over a long term, and they want to focus more on a higher EUR well and get their money over a long-term investment, or if they're a small PE private equity backed firm that's trying to maybe build up an exit, then they're going to go ahead and have a completely different strategy. They'll probably hit it with a big frack, and then have a different as far as a production strategy. They're going to operate or produce that well completely different, because they're going to want to capture as much money as close to today times zero as they possibly can, to show that look how quickly I can get my money back versus more of an EUR approach. So there's a lot of things to take into account of why people do certain things. It's not always about a really big sexy IP, because that that always doesn't come out to be the highest EUR for the well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from an engineering perspective, that's something that, especially up here, so we're based pretty much in Appalachia, so Southeast Ohio. So we see both the Marcellus and the Utica up here. And especially with these wells up here, you know, the way that they're produced and the philosophies of the companies are different, and they've changed over time. Some of the older wells, you know, they'd rip them open. You know, that was when the plays were getting hotter, you know, getting more and more attention. You know, they're trying to hit that high IP. But then what they found is it's actually damaging their well long-term wise. So they would actually do like more of they call it a managed pressure drawdown. So like you said, the production characteristics change, you know, company by company. And it also depends on their gathering system as well. So all of these things kind of form this complex web that we're talking about, you know, to put a value on this. Everybody does it differently. And so we'll get a little bit into how you guys do it. Sebastian wants to direct us more towards
Petra Values. Yeah. And so I know you guys take a lot of those sensitivities into consideration with your program and on your website. And so before we get into those details, could you kind of go through, you know, what made you start the company and, you know, what kind of triggered you into wanting to start Petra Values, or why was there a need for this?
Sure, absolutely. So yeah, I'm a geologist by training. My partner, the CEO, his name is Johan Hispa. He is a reservoir engineer by training. So what he was doing, he was working for, he had done a lot of valuations for both. He's ex-Anadarko. He's worked at several other operators, and he had basically been doing the evaluations for them, kind of talking about all the variables, running sensitivities, economic models that we talked about before. And then he went to work for some private equity groups, high net individuals, where he was doing the valuations for them. He noticed that there's an enormous gap in information when it comes to oil and gas acquisitions and divestitures. And that gap is mostly filled by mineral owners, the people who actually, and America is an amazing anomaly in the world where, you know, I can own minerals, you guys can own minerals, an individual can actually own the minerals versus the state. So, you know, throughout the country, the people who actually own the commodity, who own the hydrocarbons, the majority of them are individuals. So those are the people who own this commodity, and they don't have any information as to what it's worth, right? If I'm selling my house, I can drive by a house and I can see, okay, it's in this neighborhood. I can see that it's in decent shape. How many bedrooms, things like that. I can see what it's worth and have a general idea and get an offset comparison and see, well, that's what their neighbor sold for, and that's what this other house sold for. And a huge, huge downfall to the mineral owners is that is still the way the majority of valuations are done in oil and gas, is offset comparisons, saying, okay, well, this lease that went for this royalty went for this much lease bonus, okay? Because that's what that mineral owner signed for. We're setting the market at that level, and that's all I'm going to pay you, right? The mineral owners have no clue. Geologists are really expensive. They're not going to go higher unless they're, you know, King Ranch in Texas or some of the other very, very large ranches that have their own oil companies. People can't afford it, right? Consulting geologists are expensive. Consulting engineers are expensive. Consulting landmen are expensive. They can't afford to run the type of analysis that you know, all of the E&P, or not all of them, but, you know, the mid to larger E&Ps run. Even a lot of small E&P companies don't run, you know, full due diligence technical analysis on assets. They look at offset comparisons, and it's a very, very poor method, in my opinion, of how to value mineral rights, because you can't see the minerals. You know, they're several thousand feet in the ground, and the minerals under my property, and I go 2 miles east or west or north or south, could be completely different, right? So using an offset comparison is really, really short-sighted, and I guess what I'd say elementary way to value minerals. And we saw that, a lot of the times, people were really kind of being, I won't say taken advantage of, but they definitely did not have, they weren't getting their best interests looked at there. So we saw a huge hole in the market, right? There's plenty of companies out there that will allow you to list your minerals for sale, but they'll keep doing the offset comparisons, that's not the way EOG buys. That's not the way Exxon buys, Anadarko. That's not the way any of the, you know, actual E&P companies purchase minerals. They're going to run full technical due diligence. So we thought of, you know, Zillow kind of did this something similar for people buying and selling houses. Can we do the same thing for oil and gas minerals, for mineral owners, and for even small E&Ps, anyone that wants to invest in oil and gas, from the biggest companies, the biggest banks, down to the smallest mineral owner? Can we provide them a tool that allows them to truly understand what their mineral rights are worth, and what that, this is more importantly, what the cash flow, the possible cash flow for my property might look like? right? Rather than just, okay, well, you can sell these minerals for $500 an acre because that's what your brother just sold for, and he's a horrible negotiator, but he set the market, right? So I say to our clients, I don't care what your brother negotiated for, your sister, your aunt, or whoever, because that's not your negotiations, right? Now you have the ability, we offer the service that basically they're hiring geologists, engineers, and landmen to kind of represent them the same exact way that E&P companies represent their own interests. So it's kind of changing. We're not a Robin Hood. We're not fighting against oil companies. We're not fighting against investors. We're not solely in the mineral owner space. All we're simply doing is changing the process, or attempting to change the process of the world's most precious commodity, right? We all of mm-hmm. our lives depend strictly on oil and gas. But the process, the A&D process, from the people who own the minerals, the mineral owners, to the developers, the people who actually drill oil and gas wells, that process has never changed from the very beginning of oil and gas deals. Mm-hmm. And you look at it, every other industry on the planet has, I mean, I can buy pork right now if I want to. I could buy half a beef if I want to online. But I still the world's most precious commodity, that enormous market, the A&D strategy has not changed, right? So we're just simply providing a marketplace, not only just the marketplace, but the expertise and the services from the people who own the commodities, and bringing them directly to the people who drill and produce the commodities, right? There's a lot of folks in between those two, and those right now, since what we've built never existed, those people had to absolutely exist, right? They for let's say you guys go out and want to start an oil company, well, you're going to have to find a big enough position to get somebody interested to spend a minimum amount of capital. So you guys mm-hmm. raise $50 million, you're going to have to go to a private equity firm that says, okay, you guys have to have this much acreage. Whether you can try to convince them to spend 2 or 3 years to do some sort of acquisition timeline where you hire a landman and try to get that lease and that one and that one and that one and that one, then you have something big enough to finally invest in. You can do it that way, which is expensive. You spend a lot of G&A, and you're pushing those revenue start dates that we talked about earlier. You're pushing those further out in the future. So what we're saying is that's such a horrible, inefficient process. Why don't you just use PetroValues if you're trying to invest? Why don't you? They've already done that. They've already gotten all of these mineral owners, and they understand what their minerals are worth, and they're all kind of together now. Now you can put capital to work right away. So it's actually very beneficial to both the people who are drilling and producing wells and the people who own the minerals, right? It's better for both sides of that equation. It's really no different than, what Uber has done to change the process of how I get a cab ride, or Airbnb of the process of how I, stay when I go and visit people. They've just changed a process, right? There's still people. Yeah. That's really all we're doing in a nutshell, is just simply changing the process. And so far, it has been very, very interesting. So
you can compare yourselves to those other companies, but I would say what you're doing is way more complex.
it's far easier than taking me down to Qdoba to get a burrito and getting me right back. It's far more complex, and that's why we've been doing this for quite a while. We purposely did this with a veil on it. We didn't tell people about it. We didn't show it to people. We finally pulled the veil off last year. Strictly because it takes an enormous amount of technical expertise, both on the oil and gas side. We've got folks on our staff who have been doing valuations and reservoir characterization their entire careers. And then not only on the oil and gas side, but on the technical side, right? So we went and we pulled a heck of a lot of folks out of the defense industry who were very, very strong with their technical skills. And we've literally built our website from scratch, from the bottom up. And we are very, very proud of it. It is.
That's awesome. It's a great tool that you guys are putting out there. And in terms of people using it and stuff, like you said, like even the landowners and stuff, if someone knocks on your door and you don't know anything about it, I mean, I don't know of anybody who would even really know to, okay, well, I need to talk to a geologist, I need to talk to a reservoir engineer. Like, you wouldn't even know to do that kind of stuff. So it's a great tool for them. And then especially like you talked about, even the smaller E&Ps that just don't have the team or the knowledge, you know, or the resource to dedicate to doing like a very intense, you know, intense, but, you know, detailed analysis. And mm-hmm. so that, I think it's great what you guys are doing. And so one of the things I want to start moving us into talking about is, you know, we've established that the first part of this podcast is complex web of everything that goes into evaluations, and every little thing can be changed, you know, whether it's from the reservoir or from the company and the behavior of the company, how they just choose to execute it. You know, all of this can be changed. And of course, and that's different, you know, production's gonna be different for every well and every basin and all of, you know. So how do you start taking this and this complex web and use your team, and then even, you know, put technology behind it to do it kind of automated, I would suppose, you know, how do you take all of those things and come up with an evaluation? Can you talk to that process?
Sure. Absolutely. It's like, how do we get to the valuation in the first place?
Yeah, for sure. And what tools you're using, you know, if you're like, I know you've mentioned it's similar to Aries, and you just mentioned what that is and how you're doing this.
Sure. Absolutely. So it gets to a point that you were saying earlier of, how would an oil, a mineral owner, or even a small E&P, someone who doesn't have the resources, or the GNA or the capital to find that out. And the reason why, it's expensive. You know, the geologist is expensive, the engineer is expensive, the landman's expensive, the data itself to derive the information, right? The production information, the well information, completions information, all of that stuff, it's very, very expensive, right? So you either have to go through IHS, get a subscription through IHS, download all their data, drilling info, get an expensive subscription through drilling info, get all of their data, or some other subscription service. We looked at it and said, we've got to go get this data anyway. Looking at the other business models of really, you know, industry and process changing companies, tech companies across the globe, what they've done is they've provided an enormous amount of information that typically was expensive, and they've offered it for free. So we look and said, we've got to go get this data anyway. Let's not shape our entire business model around needing to charge for this data. So we didn't. We came up with a different business model, and we simply put all of that data out there on the website, you know, well production data, same place everybody else gets it. We just don't charge anything for it. So we started there. We went and got the data. The kind of second way that we first of all had to come up with evaluations is building, I'm sure you guys are aware, but just for your audience, type curve areas, or what you could call like neighborhoods of wells, where you anticipate each well drilled in this certain area is going to produce similarly, within reason. So the geologist would go through and do their portion of it. We would build all of those things. We put it in our database, and we put it in our software. So the geology portion has been worked. We do the same thing on the engineering side. We have the reservoir engineer do all of their work, and we put that into our proprietary program and our algorithms, all of that. And rather than paying for the reservoir engineer to slam through thousands and thousands of lines of data in Excel, we just built a bot to do it a trillion times faster and far more accurate than a human can do, right? That's where a lot of the time and money went, was just simply doing, you know, the math of everything, which computer, as you guys know, computers are far better than humans at doing those kinds of tasks. And it's better for my budget as well. So I really like that. So we do that. But we've also left it so that, just like you said, if you were, when we were doing this before, right, we had to get a Petra license to lay, or some sort of geologic mappings license to lay sticks out or future wells, things like that. We had to have an Aries license. We had to get a license for the data. It was all really expensive. So we put a lot of that on the website for free. And we built our own module that's very similar to Aries or Power Tools or PhD Win, where we've kind of gone through and we've done our own analysis on each basin, how much it costs to drill in certain areas, what the deducts are in certain areas, the reservoir forecasts for each formations in each basin, things like that. But we've still built in enough functionality that if you're, you know, a savvy reservoir engineer or geologist, or you've been doing mineral valuations, you can literally build your own properties, your own portfolios, your own wells. You can build your own forecasts. You can use our defaults, the ones that we've built, but you really have the entire ability to use, we've really streamlined the entire process. You have the ability to use what you are using Petra for, what you're using Aries PhD Wind Power Tools for, what you're using Excel for. We've just put that all together into one application, and it's not a software, right? I guess I should have mentioned that earlier. It's a website, right? So you don't have to download software. You don't have to constantly be updating or renewing subscriptions, things like that. It's a website that you can go to, similar, very similar to Zillow or anything like that, where all you got to do is type an address in your browser, and there you are. There's everything at your fingertips.
Yeah, and you guys have done a lot of the hard legwork, you know, and even just going out and gathering data, even just that portion. I mean, just the, you know, a little bit of experience that, you know, I've had, you know, working on projects and stuff. It's always a chore, you know, to get the data. And then, you know, some companies will have good data on drilling information, you know, the reservoir and the lateral lanes and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, another company will have the completions data that you want. And then maybe another company, the state or something, will have the production data. And you've got to figure out a way to link it all together, you know, and try to do that as accurately as you can, and then normalize, you know, against lateral length or whatever be the case. You've got to do all of that. And that's a huge component that I want to, you know, we don't want to underplay, you know, that you guys have done and that you guys have that done, you know, for this platform. And so that's definitely a big chore that you guys have done there. And then, so with the actual, like you said, the type curves, you know, if you have a pretty tech savvy reservoir engineer who, like you said, is going in there and building his own portfolios per se, are they able to adjust the type curves? Because I know that's kind of like a, you know, you all kind of have your own preference or what you think, you know, your own bias as to what a particular set of wells would deliver. And those are hard to build, just talking from experience too. Those are hard to build because, you know, you've got, you know, in any given area, you'll have some older wells, some newer wells. Well, they were all completed differently, you know, so
exactly.
You've got to figure out how to weigh all that in there. And you know, so if you can shed some light on that too.
Yeah, absolutely. You can. So if you have if you're working for an operator or someone who has ownership in wells, you can select those wells, save it as a portfolio, and you can go through individually. Each one of those wells has one of our type curves assigned to it, but you can go through and look at each individual well, and you can adjust those type curves however you wish, right? If you're gonna, because it's a great point you brought up. We're as neutral as possible, right? I don't care if you're buying or selling the property. It's our job to look at the data, have our algorithms fit the data as closely as possible. However, right, just like you said, if not every well was drilled by the same operator, not every well, even if it is the same operator, was drilled using the same techniques, right? Drilled the same way, completed that the same way, operated the same way. So you can change the type curves for each individual well. You can save that specifically to your own portfolio. You can have multiple portfolios, and literally it is the entire workspace that you'd be doing right now with multiple different softwares. When I say softwares, meaning that you don't get the data with those packages. You get the data and then multiple different softwares. We've just kind of concisely put that into. I mean, it's something that was built by oil and gas professionals who did the actual work, versus kind of the other way that I've seen in the oil and gas industry, where you've had these tools that were kind of built by tech folks that heard about a hole or a gap in the industry, saying, "Oh, we can build this." We did it the other way. What is something that we need? What's a tool that we need? And how would we want it to work? Like what if we needed a crutch at our previous jobs? We built what we wish we had, and then we went and got technical folks to help us build that. And then they put there's a lot of buzzwords flying around in every single oil and gas company across the world right now. I'm not going to use any of them, but I will say very, very few are actually doing any of those buzzwords. So we went and found some guys that are very, very good at doing those types of things. And yeah, it's pretty amazing what they can get accomplished.
Yeah. And your tool that you guys had, like Petra Values, extremely valuable to not only like reservoir engineers or technical people working at these operators, even mineral owners, but it's also valuable to roughnecks and people out in the field that are curious and just want to learn more about the wells that they help drill or that they help to work on. And so I know that you've mentioned before that when you're starting out as a roughneck, that you wanted to learn more about kind of subsurface and the geology and stratigraphy and how much wells around you are producing and whatnot. So it's an awesome resource for those people to go on your website, and you could see all this public info for free.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's so many different ways that I would have used it before I got into any of the economics or subsurface side of the industry. You know, when I was out driving, you know, I'd get into the shop early in the morning and figure out what location I needed to drive to that day. I mean, all I would have had to do is just pull up what well I was going to, and I could see it on a live satellite image map. I could see what's going on around me. I don't know how many times I was on location and you see a rig stood up across the road, or, you know, you just want to find out what's going on. You just want some more information because you love I loved what I was doing. I absolutely loved it. And I just wanted more information, and I didn't know where to get that. I didn't know how to get it. Now, all you simply have to do, if you're sitting on a pad and you're seeing activity around you, all you got to do is pull up, you know, petrovalues.com and look at the map, and you can find out who's drilling that well. And you see some stakes across the road. Okay, well, who just staked those locations? You can find all that information out, and you can even find out, you know, the wells that you drilled last year. Are they any good? I mean, mm-hmm. I always thought just inherently, just because I was working on the wells, they're going to be the best wells in the world. And looking back historically, that is definitely not the case.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you mentioned that you basically launched this, you know, about a year ago or last year, and you know, we've seen, you know, we saw you basically from the beginning and watch you guys grow it, and I mean, what you guys are doing for industry and simplifying all of this process and putting all this data together for someone to view and from all these different platforms and all these different sources. I think you're definitely doing a great thing for our industry, and look forward to you guys expanding into more basins as well. So what all basins are you covering right now? And then what ones are you bringing on in the near term?
Sure. So we fully support everything automated that I told you about for Denver Basin, Powder River Basin, Williston Basin. We will have the Delaware Basin. So Southeast New Mexico, West Texas, we'll have that up probably in, I'd say, the next few weeks. Probably jump over to Midland Basin, then do Central Basin Platform, or the Permian, try to cover the entire Permian as the kind of
joke. There's a lot there.
I just hate that. It just really bugs geologists. Like, oh, you're in the Permian. Well, there's like three separate basins there. So, we're moving there, obviously, for specific reasons. That the well performance phenomenal. The majority of the rigs in the country are drilling there right now. But then, yeah, I mean, we're going where the market is telling us to go. So, I mean, we get a lot of feedback, and where people want data and need data. And to be honest, I'm really surprised that there's actually people still paying, and not just paying a little bit, paying a phenomenal amount of money for data. I just don't get it. So understand.
One of the crazy thing about that too, you know, if you have a subscription to a data service, then you have to make sure you keep updating it and everything. And the challenging thing, as you were talking about with the Permian Basin too, overall, like all the different, those smaller basins within, and then even just, you know, within like the Delaware or Midland Basin, you've got so many different stacked plays. And so, you know, you guys are going to be the ones sorting through that and, you know, helping display what formations, you know, each wells are in and where it's, you know, productive, and thus, you know, all that contributes to the land evaluation. So you got your hands full in that basin, but look forward to that coming on in the next couple of weeks. And then are you coming to Appalachia sometime?
I mean, Appalachia is a big region covered by a lot of state, right?
So for sure.
the thing is, like, so we go and get the data from the state regulatory agency. So we go state by state, right? So right now, we're actually pulling in some West Virginia data. We should have that up here fairly soon. We're doing the reservoir characterization analysis for a lot of the Texas stuff right now. And as you said, there's a lot of stack pay there. Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff to look at.
Yeah. Oklahoma as well.
Yeah. Well, Oklahoma is a different different bear in itself, because the data is just awful. It's just really tough to get the data. So like I said, we've pulling in West Virginia. The Appalachia states actually have really clean data, really good regulatory commissions that have put into newer databases, because they haven't traditionally had a lot of historic oil and gas mm-hmm. activity. States like Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, they're kind of, we've always done it this way, and this is how we're going to do it. So yeah. We just have to kind of work around that. So,
And they've got such high activity. It's hard to put in a sudden change.
I don't blame them. I wouldn't.
Yeah. And hitting on what you just said, if it wasn't obvious already, like every state has different requirements for what you have to report. And then the clarity of the data for every state, their reports is different. So like on Ohio, on the production data, you get it quarterly. Because that's hard to do a type curve off of. It doesn't really show the decline to the detail that you would like. So you guys had to filter through all that. So I'm sure the challenge. How big's your team right now?
So right now we have 16 folks that work for us, and that's split between both oil and gas professionals and these are not interns. So these are we have hired a couple of interns for the summer that will be working with us. So I guess you could say 18. But that, like I said, that's split between both oil and gas professionals and what we call the development technical, professionals that we have working for us. So very proud. Gotcha. I mean, truly do have some amazing folks working for us on both sides of that aisle. So,
And I appreciate the way you guys are staffing up your team, on the technical side, those that have experience, instead of approaching it more at a tech first kind of approach. And then trying to learn about how to do it.
We're oil and gas guys, man. I mean, me and my partner, we are oil and gas through and through. I mean, I can't code my name. We have other folks to do that.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good approach. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. Sebastian, do you have anything before we start to wrap up?
Yeah. I also wanted to mention that PetroValues has an awesome blog that they have. It's kind of more geared towards providing information to mineral owners and the general community, but they have awesome topics on force pooling, what are my mineral rights worth, understanding the mineral deed and other topics like that. So I definitely go recommend that you check that out if you want to learn more about mineral rights and land evaluation.
So that's blog.petrovalues.com. Yep. And then one of the things I want to make sure everybody knows before they jump off this podcast here, we're going to work with Craig and with PetroValues in the next couple weeks and maybe beyond even to do a couple webinars on these particular topics. And I know even just in the roughly 45 minutes that we've been talking here, I mean, we've just scratched the surface and there's a lot of terms. I know you mentioned DSUs earlier and I wanted to tell you to explain what that is, but I'm like, we don't have time. There's so many topics,
That's a topic in itself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Very expansive topic. So we're going to work with you to do a couple of webinars. So do you want to kind of discuss, just mention the topics that you have planned to kind of go over in those webinars?
Sure, absolutely. So we're just basically going to focus on two different targets. One is mostly going to be mineral owners, landowners, and people who kind of focus on their work primarily with those kind of folks. Kind of focus a little bit more on what your mineral value really means and how you come up with that value. And a lot of the questions I get from clients is why am I getting lease notices? Why am I getting offers? Why am I getting this? And try to help them understand a little bit of, what's underneath their feet and mm-hmm. things like that. So we can cover that a little bit with the mineral owners. And then the second one is focus more towards industry folks, where how can you use, like I said earlier, the information prior to what we've kind of done it was really hard to get and it was expensive. So now that mm-hmm. all of this data is out there, it's free. You can come and look at it in a very easy to use map. What are some ways that you could probably use it to help, help you do your job, or even if not helping you do your job, just, feed your curiosity a little bit. So, mm-hmm. My brother's not even in the industry, but first time he looked at it, he spent several hours just looking at wells. He's like, oh, I didn't even know that well was there. Oh, that well's made 500,000 barrels of oil over its life. That's really cool. So just things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. And I think you had one geared towards professionals as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that would kind of be that one. And we can, and I mean, depending on the feedback we get of if it's guys in the field that really want to learn more how to use stuff, you know, there's going to be ways that specific things that you can do on the website that would help you with that. If they're, you know, folks that are geologists, engineers, things that you can do there. I mean, it's a tool, right? So there's multiple different ways you can use it. And the more you get used to using it, the more different ways you're going to be able to find to get stuff out of it. So
awesome. Yeah. So we look forward to ways of learning more on these topics and covering a few educational topics in these webinars, but also showing a little bit about how you use your tool. I mean, that's obviously going to be a very helpful part of that webinar as well. So check that out. We'll put all the information on oilfieldbasics.com. As soon as we get that scheduled, that'll be on the upcoming events page and whatnot. So, and of course, if you're signed up for our newsletter, wink, wink, you know, you'll get it. You'll get notified about that coming up as well. So make sure you sign up for the newsletter and keep checking our site and follow us on social media, and you'll know whenever we get that set up. So look forward to that. And thanks so much, Craig. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and look forward to all the things to come with PetroValues.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys giving us the chance. And thanks. Look forward to the webinars.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And before we wrap up the episode, just want to remind our listeners, you know, of the upcoming 101 webinars again. So that's more expansive of focusing on upstream shale everyday operations, basically. So check that out again on our website. And then again, our focus is on expanding content. So if you can help in any way, if you want to be on a podcast and have an educational discussion like we just had with Craig, you know, please get in touch with us. Or if you've got a presentation you want to do in a webinar format, or even a course, if you've got a lot of information about a particular topic and want to provide a resource to someone else that you wish you would have had, you know, whenever you entered in the industry. So you can think about it that way. And if there's any way that you can help us out, or even send us photos or videos, you know, of something on location or a process or a tool or something that you're running, you know, whatever be the case, that we can share and help others always have something new to discover. So keep that in mind as we progress. Anything else, Sebastian?
No, just wanted to mention that our next podcast will be with Adam Huger. He'll be talking about some completions related topics. So be sure to look out for that podcast.
Yeah, so bringing you more great things to come. So we've got we're just barely scratching the surface here in our industry. So we've already got the next, I don't know, dozen or so podcasts lined up. So we're trying to do 2 a week. So stay tuned, subscribe, and we look forward to talking on the next podcast. See you guys later. Take care.